And so, Heavenly Father, as we sing that the name of Jesus is precious, glorious, blessed, and beautiful, we pray that we'll open our hearts and minds to reconnect, to learn, to be rejoicing in what your story tells today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Do you ever look back and think about something and you think that was only a couple of years ago, and then you find out it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago? Well, I was reflecting a little bit this week as I was thinking about these next few weeks that lead us to Christmas once again. And I realized that this is my 13th Advent and Christmas here in Virginia. Therefore, it's my 13th time journeying with you all through the Advent and Christmas season. And as I was preparing for this year's journey, I looked back over previous years and previous sermons that I preached at this time of year. I keep all on my computer. We've looked at the journey from the visit of the angel to Mary to Bethlehem. We've looked at the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace of the Advent and Christmas season as symbolized in our Advent candles and wreath. We've looked in previous years at the courage that Joseph shows in the Christmas story, the faith of Mary, the love of God, and the hope of the wise men. We've looked at some of the songs of the Christmas season, the song of Simeon, Mary's song, Zachariah's song, John's song, the angel's song, and Anna and Simeon's song. We've looked at various other ways over the years to keep fresh what is a very familiar story. The danger is, with the story being so familiar, that we lose the power, that we lose what is at the very heart of the Christmas story, the gift of God to us in Jesus. Well, this year, as we journey over the next few weeks, I'm going to return to an old reliable, in a sense, that I come back to every so often. And that is, I'm going to use some of the familiar hymns and their stories that we sing during Advent and Christmas to once again engage us over these next few weeks. As we found in the past, the hymns contain some of the deep truths, in fact, drawing straight from Scripture, from God's Word, to communicate what is at the heart of this time of year. Well, the first hymn that I've chosen is an Advent carol, more than a Christmas carol, and it picks up on the theme of Advent, which is this: Advent is about waiting patiently, waiting expectantly for the Messiah to come. And the hymn I've chosen is number 135 in the Church of Ireland hymnal, O Come, Emmanuel. Our journey with that hymn begins way back in the 8th century. Sometimes we forget, don't we, that we are just simply the next generation that draws upon the Christian faith, that the faith that we profess has been professed by many millions and millions over the last 2,000 years. So this hymn brings us back to the 8th century, and it has its roots in the Benedictine monastery tradition. And they had a lovely way of preparing for the Christmas season. Beginning on the 17th of December, they would chant in Latin the first verse of what we know as our hymn. And then each day, over the next 5 or 6 days, they would add another verse to what they were chanting. And they used each verse to help them focus on a promise of Scripture, a promise about the Messiah. They began with one verse, and by the time they came to the 23rd of December, with joyful words, they proclaimed, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. That's about the height of the Latin that I remember from school. I didn't do too much, but I do know the verb veni was to come. So come, O come, Emmanuel. And then over the years, the verses, of course, like with many of our hymns, were tweaked and changed slightly. By the time of the 13th century, the original 7 Latin verses had dropped to 5 and were sung in a more hymn-like fashion. Should have said, if you want to have the hymn open before you, it'll be useful in a few moments. These 5 Latin verses remained changed for about 400-odd years until 1851, when a young Anglican minister named John Mason Neill translated those 5 verses into English. And his story is interesting. He was prevented from serving in a parish because of lung disease, so he divided his life between a number of social ministries. He founded a nursing order of Anglican nuns and helped social welfare organise care for orphans and young women. Again, we are so lucky today that we have so many good health services, in inverted commas. But back then, there was nothing, especially for the poor in society. He also worked as the warden of Sackville College, which was a hospital for the poor. But in his spare time, he set out to translate for his fellow Anglican clergy the great early and medieval Greek and Latin hymns for all the feasts and fasts of the Christian year, hence translating this hymn into English. Neill's translation made it into the Church of England's official hymnal in 1861, and it spread from there right across the world as an Advent hymn. The extra verses that we sing combine Neill's version with an alteration made by a Presbyterian minister and preacher called Henry Sloane in and around 1940. The tune that we'll hear in a few moments that we sing was pretty much unknown for many years until the mystery was solved in 1966 when someone called Mary Berry, the name sounds familiar, doesn't it? But it's not the one on the Great British Bake Off. Rather, another Mary Berry discovered that the tune was a 15th century transcript of a melody that again had come from France. So as we think about the hymn and prepare to sing it in a few moments, what does the hymn teach us? What does it remind us of as we journey through this Advent and Christmas season? Well, the central theme is that Israel, who are God's promised people, like sheep, had wandered away from God, essentially had rebelled and turned against God. And they were held prisoner by their own sin. They longed for the promised Messiah, who was going to come and restore their relationship with their heavenly Father. And again, we can read some of that in the hymn. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. A lonely place, being exiled from God by sin. And then the hymn writer tells Israel to rejoice. They rejoice because Emmanuel is the Saviour. Emmanuel, as we've heard so many times in the past, means God with us. It means that God has reached out his loving hand to those in exile through sin. And of course, we know Emmanuel to be Jesus. Hence, the people singing, reflected in our passage from Isaiah 7, the words, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God, be with us. Dwell among us. And then as we read on in the hymn, verse 4, the rod of Jesse is a reference to King David's father and the family line from which Jesus would come. Again, we see that promise in Isaiah chapter 11. And then the rest of the hymn underlines the need and task of the Messiah, which is to save God's people, to bring them safely to their heavenly presence with God, forgiven, loved, redeemed. Verse 5, O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. By faith, no longer exiled from God. And in verse 6, We read the word dayspring. Dayspring simply means the dawn, a new beginning, the first light of day. When spirits are dark like midnight, we remember that Jesus rose like the Son of Righteousness, a new beginning for God's people, no longer exiled. And this is mirrored in verse 7, that Jesus will be the Saviour King, the new cornerstone on which God's people will build their lives and build their faith. In verse 8, the hymn finishes again with the call for the Messiah to come and lead God's people then and now back to God. So as a whole, there's an almost eternal quality about the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, from its use of scripture, the incorporation of Christ's messianic titles, the soul-bearing yearning of those words that millions upon millions have sung and uttered for over 1,300 years, for that sense of being brought back to God by Emmanuel, by Jesus, God with them. So as we come to sing the hymn, as we journey once again to Christmas, there's something special about adding our own voices to those who have gone before us as a continuation of adoration and worship and rejoicing, arising to our Heavenly Father, to God, thanking him for the gift of Emmanuel, for the gift of Jesus, for God with us, born humbly as a child in Bethlehem. So as we reflect on these great truths, let's stand and sing hymn number 135, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that deep yearning for God to come in our own lives so that we might know forgiveness, so that we might know the peace, love, joy, and hope of Jesus in our lives today and always. Amen.